Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello there, everyone. Michael Lester here. Welcome again to the Game on Sunday podcast. Thank you again to our new sponsors, to Club Rossi, who are the fundraising arm of Roscommon GEA and celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. Because of their great success, there is redevelopment going on at the moment at Dr. Hyde Park. Two big championship games coming up there next weekend, April 7th, and then again on the 21st. So well done to them and all their efforts that they put in. And also because they're looking forward, having got planning permission for the Dermot Early Centre of Excellence. So that's a busy time for them and exciting time as well. If you want more details about what Roscommon are doing, you can get that at www.gearoscommon.ie. Now, as usual here on the podcast, Martin Carney and Tomás Mulcahy are joining me. Gentlemen, how are things?
How are you, Michael? How are you, Tomás?
Hi, how are you all, lads? All good?
I'm good.
We have loads to talk about, but both, and Tomás, I'll just park you just for the moment, if you don't mind, because...
That's Martin, okay, Michael. That's okay.
Yeah. Let's reflect, Martin, on the league finals, of course, the Allianz League finals in football. Trophies handed out, and a bit of drama, obviously, in the match between Derry and Dublin.
It was a wonderfully exciting game. And I should say drama, Michael... certainly there in abundance. Like, when you look at it, Derry had the game won last minute in normal time, and Dublin got what I thought was a dubious enough free that Conor Callaghan pointed, and again an extra time. I mean, you had that up and under, you know, 3 points up, and that up and under from John Small, and the ball broke, and I think it was substitute Greg McEnany got the goal to bring it to penalties. So essentially, Derry had it won twice, lost it twice, but yet held their nerve to actually win the penalty shootout decisively. And it surprised me in many ways, just looking at the technical side of some of the penalty kicks that Dublin took. I always thought with a penalty, your body needs to go over the ball and your non-kicking foot level with it. But Conor Callaghan, who normally is very good, he leaned back. His body is leaning back. And, you know, not alone, the ball went very high, but it actually nearly went wide. But going back to the game, the level of excitement we had, Michael, was wonderful. And I thought that the cocktail of footballing styles that we saw on the day was something that hadn't been there earlier this season. I mean, you know, you had players attacking from deep. Okay, you had a certain amount of, quite a bit maybe, of defensive, you know, stonewalling, you know, the blanket defence and all of that. But the game in general restored my faith in the ability you know, in its capacity to entertain and to attract an audience. And like, I mean, when you look at some of the kicking in it, I thought was outstanding. The attacking from half backs by that young lad, Owen McAvoy, it reminded me going way back of the type of goal that Kevin Moran scored, we say, in 1976, was it, in an All-Ireland final?
Yes, and, yeah.
You know, and when you look at actually in general at the Derry team, I mean, I think in total, they topped the list actually, scoring 16 goals in the National League. And of those 16 goals, 8 were scored by defenders. And young McAvoy actually got 3 of them. Now, Mickey Hart probably recognised last year that he played McAvoy too far back in the team. He played him in the full back line. Whereas playing him at half back this year, I think he has been a much more effective player for Derry. And I thought the way he was able to get forward and attack last week, the way that the solidness was presented at midfield with Brendan Rodgers and Conor Glass. Like, Rodgers had a very, very good game, I thought, on Brian Fenton. And I'm not saying he neutralised Brian Fenton, but he certainly limited his influence, I thought, more than usual. And as a consequence of that, McAvoy was able to get forward. But I really enjoyed the game and the excitement in it, and even the schmozzle at the end.
Martin, it's great to hear the passion in your voice after a game on Sunday, because I was getting worried about you there for the last couple of weeks. Could I ask you, in terms of penalties, did you ever take a penalty yourself?
I did, and I loved taking them. And I had a technique. You took 4 steps back, 2 to the side, head down, and you had your, I remember you used to put a bollard about 2 foot from the either post when I was practicing them. But I honestly believe that, I really believe that, Tomás, that a penalty kick, you don't go too far back, but you cannot allow your body to lean back, because it immediately, it lets the, I think it contributes to the ball rising too high, and it makes it easier for a goalkeeper to save, to be honest about it.
But also, Martin and Tomás, again, like, penalty shootouts are what they are, but it's kind of, there's a psychology to the whole thing that you've been kind of talking about there. And one thing that watching the penalty shootouts that struck me was Oran Lynch. He's a big commanding figure,
isn't he?
This is the Derry goalkeeper, you know, and Comerford, obviously the Dublin keepers, but Oran Lynch, I think, just kind of by his body language, not that he did anything wrong or anything like that, but he seemed to kind of just put one or two of the Dublin kickers sort of off their game a little bit. And he made one great save, by the way, down on the corner to his right-hand side.
There was a lot of movement, Martin, I think, before the kick was taken, right? But then he went back in his line and he stood still. But maybe he had got into the heads of the free or the penalty takers at that stage.
In fairness to Lynch, Comerford was doing the same thing. He was coming out and picking things up off the ground, it was great fun. Can we just also, Martin, just reflect, because there was more silverware over the weekend in terms of the league handed out, and Donegal.
Yeah, Donegal, really. I thought Donegal outstanding on Sunday, considering their injury list. Like, they were missing so many kind of first choice players, in particular the likes of Paddy McBearty and Ryan McHugh and Owen Van Gallagher. But on the day, like, they got a lot out of themselves. And what I enjoyed about their football, actually, I know it wasn't as exciting or as free-feeling a game as the Division One game, but what I loved seeing was their long-range shooting. I mean, there was wonderful scores scored by Kieran Thompson, the centre-forward, Oisin Gallan at full-forward, and Niall O'Donnell. Like, in this previous coming, Jim McGuinness wasn't noted, or Jim McGuinness teams weren't noted for that thing of trying shots from distance. But there seems to be a greater element of risk now in the way he's encouraging his players to play. And I thought that those shots from distance actually made the difference in the day, because I think between them, Gallan and Gallan scored 4, I think 3 from play, all of them from difficult enough positions. Equally, Thompson got the same number, and O'Donnell got two from distance as well. So that all stood to Donegal in the long term. But they'll be disappointed maybe in one respect, that they allowed Armagh back into the game and maybe didn't score for a 20-minute period in the second half. But for in terms of advancing their cause, in terms of blooding new players and all of that, it has been a very good season for Donegal so far. And Jim McGuinness will certainly take an awful lot from the game on Sunday, in particular the performances of the younger lads.
Yeah, he will. We also reflect, Martin, on the other two finals this weekend. And for Westmeath, under Desi Dolan, you know, I think that was a fine win. You know, that was good stuff for him and for them.
Well, I know a good friend of my, a mutual friend of ours, John Mohan. We were doing our kind of, shall we say, our four-timer, and we were kind of hell-bent. We really, really, really thought that Down would win that. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, Down, I think, were the leading scorers, leading goal scorers in the National League. They had scored 14. And when you look at Westmeath before last Sunday, Michael, had only scored two. Or, sorry, had only scored three.
Yeah.
Now, last Sunday, they got a wonderful performance from Sam McCarkin, and they were solid at the back, and they were cynical, and they were whatever needed to be done, so to speak. And yeah, they fully deserved their win. And like, even for Desi Dolan afterwards to say and to compliment young McCarkin, saying that it was one of the best displays he's ever seen from a Westmeath in Croke Park, that says a lot. But in terms of building confidence, in terms of actually giving them confidence for next weekend, because they're out again next weekend, I think, against Wicklow in the Championship, it'll do them no harm whatsoever. And it's a fine win and a deserved win indeed for Westmeath.
And congratulations also, Martin, to Laois, of course, who won the Division 4 final against Leitrim. Big thing for Leitrim to be in Croke Park. They said that themselves. You know, that's not me saying it. But on the day, like, Laois were way in command.
They were way in command. They were physically way bigger, much, much bigger, much more. Like, in fairness, for 48 minutes, Leitrim did very well, or 50 minutes, Leitrim did very well. They had kept it to a 3 or 4 point game. But again, I think just coming up to the end, just Laois cut loose. I think they went and scored 2-6 without reply. And I just thought, in terms of just physique and running power and all of that, they just had that little bit too much for Leitrim. And like, 3-14 was a good return, along with probably Derry's return of 3-18. It was the highest score registered by a team at the weekend. And once more, from their point of view, they have a big derby game, I think, coming up against is it Offaly in a few weeks' time. And they will certainly go into that game with a lot of confidence on the basis of the way they played the last day.
Absolutely. Tomás, let's bring you at this stage, because we're going to talk Championship in a moment. But of course, we're not done with the leagues, the Alliance Leagues, just quite yet. And looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, and it's Saturday night. Yeah, in Thurles, 7:15 throw in. So you've the meeting of Clare versus Kilkenny. Obviously, as mentioned over the last maybe 2 weeks, I think the two best teams in the league have reached the final. I think the two teams that have set out their stall and saying, we would like to win this competition are in the final, which is great to see as well. So you're kind of looking at this, Michael, and from a Clare perspective, do they go full-blooded for this? I would think they will, and they have not a choice, because it's a national competition, as a national final. I know up to last Sunday, in terms of the football, people were saying, we should have no football final, we should have no league final, because it's too near Championship. The same applies here. And I know we'll talk about only Championship fixtures in terms of going forward. But the league final, if you look at Clare versus Kilkenny, 2 weeks afterwards, the 21st of April, Clare play Limerick in Ennis. Now, that's some match to be looking forward to as well. And I know you have a league final in advance, but we did mention in terms of picking up injuries and trying to get yourself ready for that. But I think Brian Lawn has got to block all that away, right? He's got to put the players at a mind at ease to say, look, this is just another game. Let's go out and try and win a national competition, because there's serious hype about this Clare-Limerick match. There's people ringing me from Clare, from Limerick, to see, can I get them a ticket to get in there? It's a sellout. no room at the inn for this game and eagerly awaited. And look, if you look then on the other side, you take Kilkenny. Kilkenny will want to win this competition, like they've always wanted to win this competition. And their first match on the 21st of April in the championship is Kilkenny versus Antrim in Nolan Park. You know, so there is a bit of difference in terms of the fixtures, what's to follow. But let's talk. This is about Saturday night, and hopefully we're going to get exactly the same as we did against last Sunday in the football side, that we're going to have a thrilling contest. And I believe we will.
And you know what, Tomás, like we've talked and people talk about the leagues and kind of coming into the closing stages and how much does it matter. Just reflecting on what I was saying and Martin was saying there a while ago, the Division 1 final at the weekend. I actually thought some of the scraps going on, I mean, we can all laugh about it, but I actually thought at one stage that it was close to being the game being called off because everybody was fighting with everybody. I don't know what they were like up in the commentary box or anything like that, but everybody else seemed to be having a barney.
Yeah, there was a lot of the handbag stuff, I suppose. All right, yeah, definitely. And look, it didn't ruin the game though, Michael, you know, in terms of, you know, the quality that was on display there. And look, I look at Saturday night and I say it clear in terms of the new players that they give their opportunity during the year have come for the forefront. You haven't seen Tony Kelly, you know, you haven't seen a whole lot of Conlon, you haven't seen a whole lot of Shane O'Donnell and stuff of that as well. So maybe he's holding those in terms of championship, but some of the newcomers have come in, really have stood up to the plate. And likewise with Kilkenny, you know, we've mentioned Adrian Mullen and stuff like that, right? He's kind of come back into the fold after being out for a while. They seem to have got his head right. His preparation has been incredible, I believe. He's put in a serious, serious effort in terms of his own personal investment into his own fitness regime. And it's proving incredibly good for them. And then maybe just introduction of you know, TJ Reid into the fray at semi-final stage. It all looks very, very good for Kilkenny as well, you know. I mean, people will say, oh, they're gone, they're finished. No, they're building very, very strong again.
They surely are. Speaking to us of Kilkenny, there was another Kilkenny man in the limelight over the weekend. This was away from hurling. Paul Murphy, Captain Paul Murphy, who delivered the proclamation in the centre of Dublin, of course. You were impressed by his performance in delivering that famous
oration. Yeah, look, I just looked at maybe, you know, yeah, you'd always keep an eye out for former players and where they've gone and where they've moved on. And look, you have Jarrett Burns in terms of the present, and he's got a lot of kudos in terms of his speech in Croke Park on Sunday. But I think Paul Murphy was just incredible. I watched a bit of it on the news, and you know, this guy, 4 All-Ireland meds with Kilkenny, a tough cornerback, tough player, but he's turned out to be a great ambassador because he's been overseas and he's been very, very strong in terms of his kind of his knowledge of the history of Ireland. But his delivery on Sunday to me, Michael, was incredible, right? And I was reading up about it, and when I was looking at it, I was saying he had the script down in front of him, but he wasn't reading off to the script. He was looking ahead of them. He was looking at the public that were in front of him, the audience that was there. And I was saying he must have done a fair bit of research over over the last couple of days to take all that in and deliver it without actually having to put his head down to the script and read off the script. I thought it was fascinating and very, very polished. And just reading up, he's got a massive amount of kudos all over the country for his delivery. So, I mean, as a former GM and as a former player, I think it's fantastic to see the progress that the likes of Paul Murphy's making in his occupation. I think it's fantastic to see.
Well, fair play to him and well done for saying that, Tomás. Okay, lads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We've talked about league, let's talk championship, because it's galloping up towards us very, very fast, Martin. In fact, very, very fast, like here, you know.
Yeah, well, look at, when you look at it this way, Michael, I think we have, in football next weekend, we have 9 games. Mm. Like we have one in Ulster, we have 3 in Connacht, we have 3 in Leinster, we have 2 in Munster. And I know I'm going out to New York myself to New York.
Johnny Boy's trip.
So, myself and my daughter are going out to it.
All these fixtures, and now you're off to New York.
I'm looking forward to that one. The big game next weekend, actually, is in Ulster between Monaghan and Cavan. Now, both teams there will be, you know, they've invested an awful lot certainly Cavan have invested an awful lot in their backroom team this year. And we're doing promisingly enough in the league, actually. I think in Division 2, they ended up maybe, I think, in third place. Now, admittedly, they had only 7 points. But they will go into that with a lot of confidence against Monaghan, who failed to win in a game in the league. But I still think, Michael, Monaghan, you know, given their Division 1 experience, given the fact that they still probably have Conor McManus and one or two others to come back, if they get Stephen O'Hanlon back, do you remember, who was so impressive in the opening game of the National League against Dublin, if they could get him back, I still think they might have that little bit too much for Cavan. Going to the other provinces then, I suppose, when you look at Galway and London, Galway should win that. And, you know, Galway have had a very difficult National League. They've had an awful injury list. Something, in fact, I think that no other team could actually, no other team has had as bad a one. And, you know, they need to have Damien Coburn, they need to have Shane Walsh, they'd love to have Sean Kelly, Killian McDaid, and a couple of others back. Now, whether that'll happen or not, I'm not sure. But if they win, if they should win that game, in fact, they will win that game. And I think their next game after that will be the 20th of April. And they'll be looking to get through this game and get players fit. I think that's their priority. The Leitrim-Sligo game, Sligo have, you know, people don't realise it maybe, but Sligo have won the last 2 Connacht Under 20 titles. You know, they people, when they talk about Connacht football, they talk about Galway, Mayo and Roscommon, but Sligo have invested a huge amount in their football. And, okay, they have been operating out of Division 4, but nonetheless, I do believe that, you know, given Leitrim's disappointment maybe in the way things finished last weekend, Sligo might have an upper hand on this. And actually could get a win in it. And from their point of view, I suppose what they're looking for, I suppose, is to get through to a Connacht final. But I think it'll be very difficult because Galway, I think, play the winners of Sligo and Leitrim in the semi-final. I would expect then Galway to play, obviously a Mayo Roscommon winner. And hence go into the Sam Maguire, the race for Sam Maguire later. Going to Leinster, Wexford will be very disappointed at not being in the Division 4 final last weekend. And I think they'll kind of assuage some of that disappointment by beating Carlow. Longford and Meath, Colm O'Rourke will be very, very keen that Meath go on a winning streak now in Leinster. And by the way, if they win this game, they'll play the following week then against Dublin. And, you know, so there's a 2 very difficult weeks for the winners of the Longford Meath game, obviously to win that game and then to face Dublin the following week. And Westmeath, I think, will carry a lot of confidence from last weekend into their game against Wicklow. And once more, if they win that, they're out the following weekend against Clare. So Westmeath, if they're winning at the weekend, Michael, will end up playing 5 weekends in a row in football, which is very, very demanding. And as you said earlier, Tomás, about injuries and all of that, that's the big difficulty, that's the big danger, and that's what all teams want to avoid at this stage of the year, because ultimately it's what you do in mid-May through to late July that matters when it comes to the football. Clare play Tipperary, I think, in Munster. I'd expect Clare to win that. And Cork ended up their league, I think, very impressively. I think they got that ropey, what I call early stage out of their system. I think what we talked about before, that game against Fermanagh in Ederley, that was a massive turnaround for them. And from there, I think they picked up their season. They're weak in Portugal, let them no harm to us. And incidentally, I see Derry are going there this week. So I would expect them to win that. But 9 games in total next weekend starts off the championship, and probably, you know, already an awful lot of teams are kind of, you know, being put under the spotlight to a degree that would never happen in league football.
But Martin, can I just ask you, in terms of the championship now, in terms of where it's at, and you just mentioned Derry are heading to Portugal on a bit of a sun, sea and sand, and a bit of a chilling out and obviously training camp. And some guys and other counties are up next weekend in the championship. That can't be right. That can't be right.
Well, look, it's, you know, Michael used a phrase earlier on, it's just, it is what it is, and we just put up with that at the moment. And there was that sense of equity, every team being treated equally was all, you know, is never going to happen, because when you look at it, you have Leinster has 12 teams, Ulster has 9, and of all the championships, Ulster is by far and away the most competitive. And, you know, Connacht is, well, Connacht, okay, by the inclusion of London and London and New York is out to 7. I think, actually, you know, I was just looking before I came on the programme here, I didn't realise that it's as recently as 1999. That was the first time that New York came into the championship. And I know London were in it quite a number of years before that, maybe certainly 2 decades before that. But you're right in what you're saying. But when you have the championship based initially on a provincial basis, you're not going to have every county and every you know treated the same. It'll depend on the province you're in, determine the number of games that you have, and to determine when your championship starts.
All right. Martin, that you mentioned the fact that you're heading off to the Big Apple, and that. In terms of New York's place in the championship, compared to other Irish centres, if you like, in America, I was out a couple of years ago, and there was a game between New York and Boston in Boston, a club game, championship game, and mother of God Almighty, there were noses broken, and the background to it was Boston went into the game, as far as I could see, with this thing kind of, why should these crowd be representing us just as an automatic into it, as opposed to, you know, a qualifier, let's say, in the States between, let's say, Boston and New York
or Chicago,
big center, kind of,
it's a very good point, Michael, because they are the three kind of, shall we say, major centres for the immigrant community that go out there. And I know from my own experience of playing in Boston, and it's a great Connemara city, Michael. Great, great Connemara, great Galway city, great, you know, the St. Pat's Club. You have the O'Connor brothers from Mike Cullen invested a huge amount into that club, you know, the Connemara Gales Club in there. And like, you know, I can see their gripe. I see where, you know, why they would feel a little bit of an injustice, the fact that they can't have an equal opportunity to, shall we say, New York in getting to play a Connacht championship. But I suppose what New York have is they have a ground. They have Gaelic Park, which I think the GAA bought in 1926. in which then John Kerry.
Sorry to cut across you now, but the facility out in Bosnia isn't. Out in Bentan, is it? Or that's a fine spot.
Yeah, I just can't think of the name of it. I know, is it Gaelic Park has a capacity of 16,000, I think it is. I'm not sure what the center is it Fenway? I'm not sure if it's Fenway Park in Boston is the name of the center. But I'm sure if they were to get into it, Michael, they would be able to get a venue there from one of the other kind of major sporting organizations to host a once-off game. And equally in Chicago, very, very passionate Gaelic football and hurling community there. And maybe, you know, from a footballing point of view, you know, by having a preliminary match against maybe, you know, these other two teams, it would give them a greater degree of preparation for their eventual game against whoever comes out from Ireland. Because, like, when you think about the record, like last year, I think for the first time ever since they came in 1999, New York won a championship game. And again, like we talked about penalties earlier, they won it on penalties against Leitrim. And they entered the Talton Cup for the first time last year. But I do agree with you, if you had a three-way playoff between Boston, between Chicago, and between New York, where you have the major centres of the Irish communities, it would give them there'd be a greater sense of fairness. It would give them a greater capacity to prepare properly for their eventual teams in Ireland, and would give them a great focus over the winter months to prepare for something major.
Oh, Michael, I'm listening to Martin there, and I'd say we're heading for a GAA World Cup.
Well,
what would be wrong getting those three teams from the States? You have the Middle East, you have Australia, you've everywhere, with huge Irish diaspora, huge take up of Gaelic games. Something that could be tried, to be honest with you, because I think from an international side of things, it's open to be looked at in terms of what you said there, Martin, Chicago, Boston, New York. You take that around and you take it to the UK and you take it around Europe. Huge strength and depth in terms of numbers, you know. So maybe it won't feel out to bring forward, Martin. I'm more interested when you're going to New York now. And I suppose yourself and Mr. Mahon, you're going out early to acclimatise, and you probably stay with a couple of days later for recovery, and you'll bring the shorts, the same shorts as Mr. Mahon.
No, Mr. Mahon likes the shorts. I always compare them to... And no, we won't go into that. It's still, I looked up the climate, it's still too short for the tad legs. Or it's not short, but still too cold for the tad legs.
Listen, I'll talk hurling here to Moss at the moment, because the notion of you guys in your shorts, I just can't cope with it this moment, kind of, you know, in fairness to you. But anyway, in terms of hurling, to Moss, like, looking forward to the season, championship wise, what are we looking at here? Do you think Limerick are good enough to go again, or?
I do. I think Limerick are good enough to go again, Michael. Again, look, you look at the last day, yeah, very flat. Were they really interested of getting to a National League final and then having to go to Ennis the 2 weeks later? I would say probably not, right? This is all geared about the drive for five. He's got used the league to flush out a few new players again, which he's brought into the equation, and they've come up very, very strong. Probably will go back to the most reliable guys. Big question for me with Limerick is number six. Who plays number six? Declan Hannan came in the last day. Wasn't absolutely fantastic. It was only his first game back. Is he ready to actually man that position at number six, which is a crucial position, because that's the big thing. I know that Colin Lee played there a lot of times during the league. He can fit in there, and Kyle Hayes will drop into number seven, and Damon Burns at number five, right? So that's the big question for me. Other than that, they'll probably look at themselves in terms of conceding goals. The last couple of matches that they played in their full back line was very much exposed in terms of the opposition being able to get goals. And what we had said a couple of weeks back, as well, Michael, in terms of
the emphasis they put on the league last year, getting to a league final, winning it comfortably, nearly came back to haunt them when it came to the Munster Championship, because they're going to get a serious, serious test in questioning going to Ennis Cusack Park on the 21st of April. And when you look at the Championship, Michael, and we'd want to go back on world ground in terms of the fixtures and in terms of the hurling championship and the compactness, they start on the 21st of April, and on the 26th of May, just a little over a month, there'll be a few teams gone from the Senior Ireland Championship or Ireland Series.
Yeah, I know. It's fascinating, because I was thinking about this morning when I started my days on the Sunday game. In those days, the Sunday game didn't start with the beginning of the championship, except that. But having said that, we used to go on air first week in June. And things were just on the Sunday game. Things were just kind of warming up at this stage. I feel at the moment we're kind of galloping into this thing, because the Sunday game is on next Sunday, of course. And that's Monaghan and Cavan is their featured match there. And fair enough, that's all grand. You know, I'm not quite sure, am I warmed up to this just yet, you know?
No, I'm warmed up to it, Michael, in terms of looking. You look at the fixtures, you've Clare versus Limerick, you've Waterford, Cork. The following week, you've in Munster, you've Cork v Clare, Limerick. You've Cork out 3 weeks, out kind of 21st, 28th of April, and then they're out again on the 11th of May. So from a Cork perspective, by the 11th of May, if they don't have any success in two of those three matches, maybe they could be gone out of the championship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a team that's training since September for this focus, right? So it's a massive, massive couple of weeks for every team. Not alone Munster, but Leinster as well, right? You take Kilkenny versus Antrim, you take Galway, play Carroll on the first match, and it's Wexford v Dublin, which is the pick of the games there on the 21st of April. But compared to Munster, Michael, right, it's a bit of a walk in the park for Kilkenny and Galway in terms of their first match. Okay, this the second day out, 27th, Galway play Kilkenny in Bear Stadium. And there's a huge difference in terms of what you're looking at there compared to where you're at in Munster, you know, because Limerick and Tipperary, 28th of April, Waterford, Tipperary, the 4th of May. Like, it's coming so quick. You have to get excited about it. Hopefully, weather is going to be better than what it's been for the last couple of weeks. Forecasts will tell you up the next couple of weeks, we're due an awful lot of rain as well. And it's hard, definitely, to get yourself warmed up for a Munster or Leinster Championship campaign when we were used to going in our shorts, your short sleeve shorts and stuff like that, and sitting down in nice sunshine and enjoying the comfort that was there in our stadiums, but also the enjoyment that we got by playing in the right conditions. Hopefully that doesn't come against us, because there's an awful lot gone into the preparation of teams for this campaign, Munster and Leinster, and hopefully weather's not going to play a big part in it.
Do you know what? On a side topic, I have a good feeling about the weather this year. I get that kind of feeling in my bones around this time of the year. As to whether we're going to have a good summer or a poor, I think we're actually going to have a good summer. You heard it here first, folks.
God help you after this.
And that could be from July onwards, Michael, when the All-Ireland series is finished.
It's finished.
That's a good point, boss.
I knew I'd get you back on that one, Lester. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's all right. Fine. Martin, just to come back to football again for the moment, and we were talking a little bit earlier on there about Tomás was saying that he could envisage a kind of as he put it, a kind of World Cup format. And certainly there are a lot of Irish out there, as he was mentioning. A couple of years ago, I was out in Singapore, and I mean, there was a GAA tournament out there. Cripes almighty, like, it was as good as any tournament that you would see in Ireland in terms of the enthusiasm. And they came from everywhere, not just like from the immediate vicinity, but kind of flew in to Singapore from all around, kind of, you know, and that. But on a more local level.
Is it possible, Martin? Is it possible? We're getting hot in the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Realistically, I don't think it is. But the expense involved, Michael talked about the expense last year. or last week rather, when we talked about trying to kind of, shall we say, get hurling into national schools as a compulsory module on PE programs. You know, the cost of that, the cost of running a World Cup, were it to happen in Gaelic sport, I think would be colossal and prohibitive. And again, we talked earlier about the, you know, the lack of equity, the absence of equity, rather, in terms of teams. I think, again, the Irish, whoever would represent Ireland would have an absolute runaway kind of, shall we say, advantage on every one of the other ones.
And I wouldn't say you would have any representation from Ireland. Your county is where you're at, right? In terms of, you couldn't put a one team from Ireland. That had to be your county you're representing. But you bring in the others to be part of it, you know?
Yeah. An aside issue again to all that, Martin. This question for you in terms of just coming back to Ireland here now, and keeping it local, if you like. In terms of the provincial championships, and we know the inequality and the disparity that's involved there. How far away, Martin, do you think we are or should be from a 32-county Champions League, if you like, type format?
I think we're a long way away from it, because for this, it should happen. I've no doubt about it. It should happen. And there should be, shall we say, the beginning of a debate on that, to try and get a 32-county Champions League format. But for that to happen, it would mean an end to the provincial championships. And essentially, to get something new like that, it goes to a vote at Congress. It goes to a vote in Croke Park. And the people who actually, you know, do turkeys vote for Christmas? Not at all. And equally, will provincial councils vote for the dissolution of their own competitions?
But you're dead right, Martin. That's exactly the point. But my question to you on that is, should this decision not be taken out of their hands for the benefit of Gaelic football?
Well, it should be taken out of their hands, I think, for the benefit of Gaelic football. I think Gaelic football would actually kind of, shall we say, it would rise to another level if there was something like a Champions League all 32 county competition. But I think the debate in for that particular change of circumstances should start and should come from within counties, Michael. To have a little bit more, shall we say, equity and a little bit more, I suppose, a difference, perhaps, a new departure, a new direction in the whole thing. But I cannot see it in the short term becoming something that's realistic. I cannot see it something that is going to kind of come overnight. It would be a very, very slow process if it was ever to happen.
But Martin, we're in the world of commercialism in terms of sport and the mix of business and sport, and the costs and the expenditure that's required now in terms of, like, can that be sustained unless there is a change of thought process in terms of what Michael has mentioned about the open draw? I mean, I remember playing in 1984, Michael, in a, I think it was sponsored by Ford, a Centenary Cup competition.
Yes, that's right.
And,
yeah.
You know, and we happened to beat Laois and Croke Park in the Centenary Cup final. But it was an open draw competition, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic in hurling, you know. And you would have surprises, and you would have you'd be taking teams out of their comfort zone in terms of having to travel from their own provincial venues to maybe up country and stuff like that. And I think it would bring a massive, massive bit of excitement to a championship that is badly, badly needed. And I think in terms of sponsorship and TV rights and stuff like that, I think would be absolutely fantastic.
And you had it, Tomás, in football that year. And if memory serves me correct, I certainly played that year. I remember Liam O'Neill kind of put me back and played as a cornerback. But I remember that the open draw, if memory serves me correct, we were drawn, Mayo were drawing against Kilkenny in Kilkenny.
Yes.
And that's a fact. Never in my life had I been in Kilkenny. Never mind say sport there. But we played Kilkenny, and if memory serves me correct. I'm talking about football now. I'm talking about football. They don't even have a football team now. But at the time, Tomás, that happened. That happened, as far as I can recall, that Mayo played Kilkenny. Every one of the 32 counties entered the competition at the time. Yes, it was knockout. Yes, it was knockout. But it showed you, okay, like you said, you know, teams would be taken out of their comfort zone. It didn't happen, obviously, in that game. But certainly, you know, the likes of a Derry going down to play, for example, Waterford or something like that, that would give them, you know, a new kind of focus completely, a new departure, bringing them to, you know, parts of the country in many respects that they would only ever dream of visiting.
By the way, lads, can I just say to you, I you're talking about that Centenary Cup in 1984. I have fond memories of that because that was my first year on the Sunday game. And Sunday game season started not with the championship, but as you lads said, with that Centenary Cup competition and I have fond memories of meeting Sean Boylan. And that Meath team at the time, and that was, they won the football that year. Yeah. And that, of course, was the beginning of that golden period for Meath football for the next couple of years under Boylan. So happy days, as they say. Lads, I'm going to close it off there. Thank you so much for your time to Martin and Tomás. And also thanks to our new sponsors, Club Rossi. And they are, of course, the fundraising arm of Roscommon GEA, celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. And because of their success and what they've been doing so far, great redevelopment taking place in Dr. Hyde Park, big championship games coming up there over the next couple of weeks. And they've also got planning permission for the new Dermot Early Centre of Excellence. So lots for them to look forward to. More details on all that if you want to find out on www.gearoscommon.ie. Until the next time, folks, thanks for joining us. See you then.
See you all, Martin. Enjoy New York.
Thanks, Tomás. Thanks, Michael. Thank you. Thanks, lads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.